So we've spoken in the past, and we started exploring a few weeks ago in Parashat Bereshit, the beginning of the Torah, the understanding of the human situation, the existential situation, which we learn from Adam HaRishon, from the first archetypical human being. And from leaving the state of wholeness, the state of Gan Eden, of the Garden of Eden, and becoming estranged, becoming alienated, unable to answer the question, Ayeka, where are you? And in our parsha this week, Parshat Vayera, we have actually, for the first time in the Torah, the answer that Adam was supposed to give of Hineni. Abraham says Hineni. And Yaakov Avinu says Hineni. And Moshe Rabbeinu says Hineni. Here I am. And that is a core realignment, which in my understanding, much of the Torah is trying to direct us into. That Lecha Hashem Kivinu Kol Hayom. Kivinu, from the word Kav, to you, Hashem, the Divine, we are trying to align, we are trying to be aligned as individuals and in relationships and community and as society. Coming back into alignment and coming back into presence, into here I am. There's nowhere else to be aligned than here. Here is where life is taking place. Vayikatz Yaakov. Yaakov woke up. Mishnato. From his slumber. Ve'omar achin Hashem b'mokom hazeh v'anochi lo yedati. Indeed, the divine is in this place. Being is in this place. And I wasn't aware. It's not that the circumstances weren't right. The inner circumstances weren't right, weren't aligned, weren't awake. There wasn't a sensitivity to the realness and to the presence of the divine. That's what, you know, this term awakening is used often in spiritual talk. So what does it mean to awaken? That's what it says about Yaakov. He woke up. Previously he was unawake to the reality which was present here, but he wasn't present. Imagine if every time growing up in school or in the army when we're called to attention or called to taking roll call and you have to say present, if that was actually a moment of presence. Oh yes, hineni, akshiv, yeah, attention, presence. So in fact, each moment of life, there is that divine call calling us, roll call, are you here? Are you here in your life? Are you here in your role? Are you here in your you? And we're being called on to say, yes, present. Not necessarily as a word, but with our presence to be showing up in our lives as hineni, as awake to this moment and what's being asked of me. Which might be to receive the richness of the moment, it might be to act. Only when we're really present, present to the present, to the gift of this moment, can we unwrap it and then know what does it hold for us. We discussed last week our tendency to run away from unpleasant experience. And having sat now for a period of time, then we see that in a very micro and very immediate way. It's like, oh, I've been sitting. First I was comfortable, and now I'm not comfortable anymore. And then what do we want to do? You know, we want to get comfortable again. We want that unpleasant to go away. And then it goes away, and then again, you know. And so basically all the time we're caught up in trying to be comfortable. Get the uncomfortable to go away and to get the comfortable to stay. There's a constant seesaw, a constant pushing pushing if it's unpleasant and pulling if it's pleasant and all, anything else just ignoring. 90% of life, by the way, is neutral sensations, which we tend to just ignore. So that gives us another insight. What does it mean to wake up? What was it that Yaakov was waking up to? It's like, well, that's boring. Like, because we're so used to needing stimulation, external stimulation, to feel alive. Because maybe we haven't yet, operative word yet, cultivated the sensitivity to feel the pulsing aliveness, which can be here when we're just sitting still, just paying attention to simple sensation. So, like Adam Rishon, we run away, we hide, we run into what gives us a sense of safety, right? Which could be thoughts and planning or memories or a sense of self. Oh, me, this is me. And it gives a sense of safety because it's familiar. Now, that safety is an illusion, kind of like, you know, the rain the other day and running with like a little piece of cardboard, like that's going to protect me. Like, I remember my dear brother Jack years ago was in Costa Rica and had a revelatory experience hiking in the rainforest there, and it started raining and everybody's kind of like trying to cover up, and maybe he didn't have a rain jacket or whatever, and then he just realized like he didn't have to cover up. He could just get wet. You know, like we don't actually melt from getting wet. There's a great story about two waves. I think it's a story told by Ram Dass. Two waves who are coming into shore. And the second wave keeps panicking and saying to the first wave, you know, we're getting close to the shore. And the first wave is, yeah, you know, don't worry about it. And then they get closer and it's like, real, like, hey, we're, you know, we're going to run into the shore. Like, what, you know, start worrying. And first wave is like, just surfing out, man. And then they're like really about to run into the shore. And it's like, you know, we're going to run in and we're going to fall apart. And the first wave turns to the second wave and says, hey, we're water. We're water. There's nothing to be afraid of. We're afraid because we're identified and stuck in a very small sense of self. Oh, this is me. These feelings, these thoughts, this identity. And when life happens, which it tends to, then those change because that's the nature of creation. That's the nature of the Briya, is to be in constant change. And because it's in constant change, that means if we're holding on to a certain reified sense of self or sense of life, it's like trying to hold on to the water as it runs through our hands. We're just doomed. And then we get frustrated. So in Tehillim, it says, Hirpu de'u ki anochi Elokim. Relax, soften, let go. And then you'll know that I am God. In the letting go, we wake up again to the aliveness and the flow, which is the truth of creation and the truth of self. There isn't me. There's something maybe passing through. And then we begin to relax from the coarseness of separateness and open to the flow of life and connection. So we have that natural tendency, right, to seize up. It's a natural tendency. It's part of evolution. But we can also continue evolution in terms of how we relate to it. And that continuing of evolution is embodied in Avraham in a very literal way. Because Avraham goes from being Avraham to being Avraham. He receives the hay at the establishment of the Brit, of the covenant. At the covenant, the Brit, there's a Brit Milah, circumcision. He loses his foreskin and he gains a hay. He loses a natural part of evolution, which comes to protect to keep from being vulnerable, and an opening into vulnerability, into relationship, into being touched by life, moved by life, then he becomes Avraham. Opens to a new possibility of what it can be to be human, to be integrated with and part of creation. And the Zohar teaches that that hay was placed for Avraham in Bereshit. In the pasuk we mentioned last week, Eile toldot shamayim v'aretz be'hibar'an. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth in their inter-emergence. So Hibaram is the same letters as Avraham. And that hey of Hibaram, their inter-emergence, they're being created. It's an emergence from within to without. The divine is not operating in a top-down mode, but it is the impulse of creation unfolding, flowering. So when we let go, when we learn to change, just every few seconds by relaxing, right? And then relaxing again, noticing and relaxing, allowing, doing that a couple seconds at a time, and doing that thousands and thousands and millions of times, then we shift, we teach ourselves, we train in a different mode of being. Imun and emunah are related, right? Emunah is not belief, it's sensitivity, it's art. It's the art of being alive in deep contact with reality, with Havaya. Hey, for Havaya. That's what Avraham gains, an awakening to being, to life, to Havaya. And we're helped by his example in this week's Parsha. Well, I'll say something else. We tend to seek spiritual highs, right? Or whether we call them spiritual, we tend to seek that feeling of being alive. From all different ways and things, to get that feeling of being high, like don't just sit here, go do something. James likes to quote, I think it's Sylvia Borstein, who says, "Don't just do something, sit there." So what does Avraham do? He's in the middle of a revelation. He's talking to God. God's talking to him. Like, what more could he want? Ve'iralav Avaya Be'elonei Mamrei V'hu Yoshev Petach Ha'oel Kechom Hayom. And the divine appeared to him by the terebinths of Mamre as he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he's like, he's there. He's like, he's have, okay, great. And what does he do? Ve'isanav V'yar V'hinei Shlosha Anashim Nitzavim Alav Vayar, Vayaratz, Likatam, Mipetachoel, Vishtachu, Vishtachu Arza. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men stood over against him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed down to the earth. It's quite an extraordinary experience. He left his high and just like went to meet people. Like there's always people. And he was like there with God. Like, what is that about? That is so different from what we think, right? Like you're there, you're awakened. And then like some people came by and you got up and left. What is that about? He says, Vayomar Adonai imna matzati chen b'enecha ana tavo mi'alavdecha. My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass from upon your servant. So the Me'or Naim, one of the students of the Baal Shem Tov, says that what he was asking God is, let me find, and it's like there's a something odd about that. Like God is found in every place. We know that. Certainly Abraham knew that. And he says, so don't go somewhere else, or don't pass away. So it's like, so what he's saying, the Moranaim is saying, is let me also be able to find you, to encounter Panesh Shina, the face of the divine presence, when I go to meet these human beings. Let me go into a really ordinary, mundane human experience. And in that mundane human experience, let me meet you. And it's that core orientation. And we see this incredible welcoming, right? I won't go into all the details here, but he runs and he cooks for them and he's washing the feet and incredible welcoming. So much so that it becomes the paragon of Hachnasat Ochim, of welcoming guests. That's a core attitude of Avraham, of kindness. And it's when we bring that attitude to every experience, to every guest which enters our sense doors, that we can then come to discover the divinity in all of experience, not just in our spiritual highs and trips and whatever. We go into the hard stuff and we welcome it. With that simple practice, oh, feeling, welcome. Hearing, welcome. Annoyance, welcome. Grief, welcome. Sadness, welcome. Yearning, welcome. Uncertainty, welcome. Eagerness, welcome. 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 I don't experience boredom very much. And I think maybe there's plenty of reasons, but I think when we take interest in our experience, it's kind of antidote to boredom. Like, how long will you stay bored? I don't know, but it's an interesting experiment to try. How long will you stay bored when you take an interest in boredom? Like, what is the experience of boredom? Like, how, where is it in my body? Is it like, are there thoughts about it? Is there some aversion, actually? I think that's a common element in boredom. Like, the boredom is trying to keep me from really sinking into experience, perhaps. Or just boredom, welcome. So think for a second, what is that, what's the quality of Avraham's attitude when those people show up? And holding that attitude with whatever experience comes by. The neuroscientists say that neurons that fire together wire together, which is incredible. It's like one of the biggest chidushim of the past couple decades, that of neuroplasticity, that the brain can change, the mind can change. Or as they say, we use the mind to change the brain to change the mind, meaning we can direct our attention in a way which actually changes the hard wiring, the structures of the brain, the gray matter and all kinds of other things that I don't really understand. And that when that changes, then we actually have a different experience of mind. Less stress, more well-being, more resilience, more compassion, more focus. That's a result of training. And there's been brain scans which show that kind of change in as little as a couple months of training for 30 minutes a day. So, lo b'shamayim, it's not like way out there. It's worth noting in the Gemara in Kedushin, it says that these people who came by appeared to him as Arabs or as wayfarers. So he's just taking that experience of welcoming, of kindness, of interest, of eagerness to these Arabs or these passersby who are coming his way. So the shift here is from a focus on content. I need my experience to be X in order for me to be okay, in order for me to be happy. So focus on a way of being with whatever the content is. It doesn't mean that we stop trying to direct our lives in a certain direction. But we do begin to discover an incredible freedom and a happiness which is less and less and ultimately not dependent on conditions, because we go from being totally identified with experience, which is why we're pushing and pulling on it, to being, realizing there's this vastness, there's a heart, there's a quality of attention that I can bring to experience. So rather than being my experience, I notice what the experience is. And then I, in a sense, I make love to it. I bring love to it. And I know it intimately. And I notice in my own experience, the more I do that, the more flush I feel with life, the more sense of intimacy, whatever it is, and especially with what you refer to as negative emotions, and I would prefer to call them maybe afflictive or challenging emotions. And we realize that they don't have an inherent negativeness as we also let them move through us, maybe bring the messages that they bring, that they want to bring. Sadness, for instance, can create space. Something's ending, there's sadness, it creates space. It's part of the process of life. If we can let ourselves feel it, let it move through us, to emote, to move out. It is aliveness. The Piazzetsna Rebbe teaches that our degree of aliveness is directly related to how much we open to our emotions. And we don't choose to open to some emotions or not others. We just choose to open or not. It all goes together.
I have a question.
Yes.
When speaking about Abraham, I guess what the text says, that is absolutely the type of Abraham is chesed. His main quality. Meaning that it was not experiencing his own experience was giving. I mean, it was all in the giving process. I don't think that it was focused on himself. It was focused on being there for the others. Even on the price of letting go of his touch with him.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right that he had enough freedom, meaning he wasn't clinging to his spiritual high. He was in this place of open-heartedness. And so that's the training that we're doing, to be able to not be attached, to relax from that and to bring that quality of open-heartedness to our own experience and to others. Because when I can bring it to my own experience, then I can bring it to other people. The more I train in being open-hearted and welcoming towards whatever comes up in me, the more that just becomes my fundamental way of being.
And in the meantime, having to pay attention to everything we feel and sense and think, it doesn't focus on ourselves too much, like
separate us from. Yeah, great question. So we'll finish with that for tonight. I would say that it's actually what frees us from being obsessed with ourselves. Because if we're not aware and if we're not practicing, we're just unconsciously caught up in the tug of war and the push and pull in our own experience and our own thoughts. It may be that at the beginning of awareness practice, there's so much here and I don't know what to do with it, but it's on the way to being able to be free rather than so caught up in myself and reactive. That's all I got to have. So there's more to say, and thank God there's next week.